Today's first reading can be found on page 690 of your church Bibles. We're reading chapter 6 of Isaiah. Page 690, starting at verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces, with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." He said, "Go and tell this people, be ever hearing, but never understanding. Be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people calloused, make their ears dull, and close their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed." Then I said, "For how long, O Lord?" And he answered, "Until the cities lie ruined and without inhabitant, until the houses are left deserted and the fields ruined and ravaged, until the Lord has sent everyone far away and the land is utterly forsaken, and though a tenth remains in the land, it will again be laid waste. But as the terebinth and oak leave stumps when they are cut down, so the holy seed will be the stump in the land." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The second reading today is Matthew 13, chapter 13, verses 1 to 23, and it's in your Bibles on page 978. The parable of the sower. That same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear." The disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied, "Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have in abundance. Whoever does not have even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, 'You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. otherwise they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away, what was sown in their hearts. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of his life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, leading prayers and doing the readings. So as I said earlier, a parable, a story told to teach people. It's not precise definitions of what's going on, necessarily kind of realistic details, but it's a story to make a point. And Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like, he wants to describe what being in God's people is like, here on earth as well as forever. In another gospel, the same thing is described as the kingdom of God. It's about who belongs to God and who is rejecting him, what it is like to live as God's people. So our question for this morning is, how can I be fruitful in my life? How can God do a big work in my life? And the answer is, be careful how you hear. Am I slightly loud? Have you got the soundy thing there, please? Imagine the scene. There's a large crowd gathering, people from towns all over arriving. Jesus gets into a boat out into the lake to teach. It's banked quite steeply around the Lake of Galilee, so they're stood there in rows. And his voice carries over the water really easily to them, and he's speaking with familiar images. A farmer, seed, soil. But was the story easy to understand? We've had this story, haven't we? So I'll whiz through it. Is this going to work? A farmer goes to sow his seed. I really want this to work. This is going to help. Yes. Some fell on the path and gets eaten by birds. Some fell on rocky places and gets withered by the sun. Some fell among thorns and got choked. And some fell on good soil and rose up 100 times, 60 times, or 30 times what was sown. And Jesus finishes. Did you remember what he said? He who has ears to hear, let him hear. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. You see, Jesus is suggesting this is not as straightforward as it sounds, as it first appears to you. You need to faithfully think about this one, and then you will hear God's voice to you. The prophets in Israel had spoken of a picture of God rescuing his people from their enemies, gathering up and then sowing them, like a farmer sows his seed, sowing them into their own land at last. So maybe the crowd had this in mind. They thought, hey, Jesus talking about the kingdom, and the farmer's sowing the seed, the kingdom is coming, we're going to rise up and smite some enemies. Those Romans have got it coming to them. But then Jesus carries on, doesn't he? And he talks about four different types of soil. What's happening? Well, the seed, sometimes it doesn't go in and then it's gone. Sometimes it doesn't go very deep and it's short-lived. Sometimes it goes in deep, but then it gets strangled by thorns and choked out. And sometimes it goes in deep, producing good fruit. They must have been thinking, well, This is a bit of a wasteful farmer, isn't it? There are challenges to farming, obviously, but he shouldn't be throwing this important seed onto the path to attract birds. Another seed seems to struggle. Does this mean the kingdom isn't quite here yet? What's going on? And as for that unlikely, spectacular harvest of 100-fold, well, when does that ever happen? Confusing? Well, the disciples thought so too, and Jesus explains why it might be a bit confusing. It's worth taking just a few moments to think about what parables do as we listen to them. Because Jesus quotes Isaiah, and that's why we had that Isaiah reading as well. Isaiah, instead of talking about triumph and rest in the kingdom as the seed is sown, he speaks of judgment on Israel itself. The unfaithful, well, they will not understand, and they will not perceive what is going on, despite hearing and seeing God's words. I thought it might be a bit like this game. I don't know if any of you have ever played Mad Gab before. It's a thing where you get a few words on a card, and then you get a team member, and they say it to you, and you've got to work out what it is that they're actually saying. So if you take that first one, if I say to you, Heine Dairy Seat, Heine Dairy Seat. Now, can anyone think of something that's a bit coherent that comes through from that? Heine Dairy Seat. You're at least as blank as I imagined this would go this morning. Okay, I'm going to merge them slightly. Heine Dairy Seat. Heine Dairy Seat. I need a receipt. Very good. 1 point to Claire. Excellent. So have you got the idea? I need a receipt. So the next one is Abe Axe Tree Tally. Abe Axe Tree Tally. So if you say that to yourself and blur it slightly. Very good. A backstreet alley. We'll do two more. I half tooth row yup. I half tooth. Yes. Was that too medical, that one? I have to throw up, yes. These are just from the internet. A completely random sample, I assure you. The last one, thumb other oven fin chin. Thumb other oven fin chin. Try and blur that to yourselves. A bit of a phrase we sometimes use. Thumb other oven fin chin. Thumb other fin chin. The mother of invention. Okay, fine. We're finished. So that's a Mad Gab. But the idea of hearing something, but not necessarily understanding. That was my very smooth link there. The Israelites, not understanding what God was saying, happened in Isaiah's day, not because the prophets were gabbling and using random words, but because the people did not want to hear what God had to say. And Jesus could see it happen again in his day. The very people who've been taught to look for God's king, look for God's kingdom, well, they're rejecting Jesus, the Son of God, as he appears amongst them. But the day had come. God's kingdom was near. It is a time of judgment and mercy based on your response to Jesus, God's king. People were beginning to violently reject Jesus by this stage in the gospel. So Jesus teaches in parables to intrigue his listeners, give them something to really think about without the direct confrontations which had started to happen. Jesus is saying that parables are not there to make difficult truths easier to understand, but they're there to make us think on truths which might be hard to believe. Do you see the difference? It's not that they're hard to understand, but they might be hard to believe and receive. So parables give us a way to really chew on these things, particularly God's work through Jesus' death and resurrection. Later on in the chapter, parables are described as revealing things hidden since the creation of the world. This is the gospel being brought to us. And the disciples would not fully understand it all until after the resurrection, but they were beginning to see and understand by faith that which the prophets and righteous men had longed to see. God's king, God's kingdom had come with Jesus. So Jesus says, they, verse 13, do not see, but verse 16, your eyes are blessed because you see. So what about our eyes this morning? Do we have blessed eyes? Will we see what Jesus has for us? I wonder if you've ever been in a maze. And maybe even got lost or had that slightly frantic feeling that you thought, oh, this is going to be a trouble. That's a maze there, one of those ones with the tall hedges. Maybe you've had a map with you. I've been in mazes where you kind of have a map which sort of helps, some sort of key. We went to one where in the middle was a castle. So if you got there, you could get up above it and then look around and find the path out. I was thinking, well, maybe reading a parable sometimes feels like being in a maze. We need some sort of key, not knowing which way to turn. We want a map to this. Well, Jesus, he asks us to kind of chew on all of God's word and to understand something of God's mind, and then these things by God's Spirit made clear to us. But for this one, he gives us a map, which is rather helpful. And so he explains it in that last part of the story. Let me reread you. But there's some pictures with the soils are in people's hearts. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. That's the seed on the path. The one who receives the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. Trouble, persecution come because of the word. He quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the one who hears the word, understands it, and then he produces that crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. It's always the same seed that lands, the word of God, the message of the kingdom. It's always the same seed. So what does the fruitfulness entirely depend on? The quality of the soil, isn't it? The quality of our hearts, what's going on in our hearts. So which soil do we want to be? Which soil do you want to be? Well, of course, the last one. I want to be fruitful in my life. I want to produce good things for myself and for others. Well, Jesus says, be careful how you listen. God wants to do a big work in our lives, but be careful how you listen to him. So how is your heart this morning? God's word is being sown. As we come to his word, we are responsible for how we hear and respond. It can be about turning to Jesus as a Christian, hearing the gospel of Jesus' death in our place and his resurrection so that we can know we can have forgiveness and belong to God's family as we receive that freely. But we know this can happen to some extent at any time, don't we? So let's do a quick heart checkup. Now, there's a sort of beating heart there. How are you doing this morning? What might prevent God's word taking root deeply in your heart this week? How can you be careful how you listen? Some allow the evil one to snatch the words away at once. I guess most of us have experienced people who are cynical or sneering at us because of Jesus or our faith in him. Think of the one who grudgingly comes to a service like at Christmas time because it is Christmas and they're ticking a box, but they clearly prejudge the content and they shut their ears to anything that they might hear. Are we in danger of sometimes being hard to it or ignoring it? Or maybe I was thinking more subtly, I think this is what happens to me. We hear God's word and we think it's for someone else, so it bounces off us and you think, oh yes, Joe blogs, that would be great for them. What's her name? She really needs to hear this. But we don't let it sink into our own hearts, hear what God is saying to us. Some seem to be enthusiastic, but when the gospel starts to make demands, last week we thought about putting on the wedding garments, living a holy life, it's going to mean making changes in different priorities. They quickly show that the word never really went down deep and became rooted in their hearts. The word falling away is literally tripped up. They're stopped where they've got to, whether by abuse coming to them or a challenge about their faith or just facing the cost of living for Jesus in a rebellious world. Are we ready to hear, but maybe unwilling to put it into practice, to really dwell on it? You have troubles, maybe doubts or the actions of other people that come when God says something different to those around you. Folks, it's so useful to have a regular practice of reading the Bible for ourselves, not just coming on a Sunday, but day by day, letting it sink deep into our hearts, learning more of our Father God's so we can hear his voice more clearly and be more persuaded of his goodness to us. Some really do have a deep-rooted hearing of the word, but then other things have taken root in their hearts as well. The worries and the pleasures associated with this world. whatever that might be for you, whatever your particular temptations, your priorities, things that loom large in your heart and your mind. They choke that delicate plant of what God wants to do in your hearts. Do you know God's word, but feel a clash with other priorities? And then other priorities and concerns, they've already taken first place in your heart. It might be that we need to do some weeding of things we know are getting in the way of what God wants to do in our lives. Are we in danger of any of those reactions? Some like the good soil. Hear and understand. And that's our prayer for ourselves, and that's what I pray for us as a church every Sunday as we come together. Verse 19, they were not understanding. Here at the end of the explanation, they are understanding. They've received it. Praying for God to do that work of 30, 60, or 100-fold work in us and through us. Be careful how we listen. Coming to an understanding can take time and hard work. Maybe there are areas where there are hardness, which stone which needs to be removed. Maybe there are areas where there are thorns, priorities which we treasure too much, which need weeding out. We try and listen to God's word, and we try and help it. We try and receive it to do its work. Jesus says, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. It goes together, our attitude to hearing God's word. Be careful how you hear. Do you listen with faith, ready to trust in the death and resurrection of Jesus, and ready to believe what your God has for you? And finally, briefly, when we think about when we sow the word, what reactions do we expect? What responses? And then how could you help someone that you know that might fit into one of these categories when you see these things happening in their life? That friend who blocks, just shuts their ears. You can see them shut down as you try and share something or question something. That friend who just clearly has too much going on, but their life is already full with all these activities for their family and the other priorities. And so there's no way you can see fitting Jesus in. What questions can we ask? How can we help them? What can we draw their attention to? But most of all, it drives us to prayer, doesn't it? People hearing God's word, for it to do them good, well, that's a spiritual battle. It's God's seed, God's work, but we are called to sow. Well, as we look at the various ways, the growth of the seed, the blessing of the word can be impeded, we may wonder, oh my goodness, there's so much going on. How can anyone respond? The wonderful promise of God here, and don't miss it, is that God will work an awesome fruitfulness in our lives beyond expectation. That hundredfold from one seed, that's beyond expectation if we can receive by faith. So I wonder this morning, maybe that's you, can you believe that God will do a big work in your life? Can you believe that? Because he has it and ready for you, and he has promised it. Be careful how you hear. God wants you to be spectacularly fruitful. Let's pray. Father God, may your word that brings life come to us. May we be careful how we hear. We thank you that though your word and work can seem ordinary and small, you promise that it does surprising big things. Open our ears to hear and our eyes to see your kingdom growing in our lives and through our church. Amen.